Blog Talk Radio.
From Dog Works Training Centers, professional canine training centers in Denver, Colorado, and Anchorage, Alaska, this is Dog Works Radio, committed to families and their dogs to build lifelong and fulfilling relationships. Visit our website at dogworksradio.com. Dog Works Radio is part of Twine Group Media and syndicated worldwide on blogtalkradio.com. Now, here are your hosts, Robert and Michelle Forto.
Hello and welcome, everybody. It is Monday, April 25th, 2011, and this is Robert Forto hosting from Willow, Alaska, the mushing capital of the world. And our co-host is not able to be with us tonight. We kind of started this show on a quick notice, so she is in Denver at Denver Dog Works teaching classes, so she will join us next time. But today we have Michelle Ray, who is the coordinator of the Furry Scurry and the Rocky Mountain Pet Expo in Denver, and we're going to bring her up in just a second. But before we do, I want to make sure that we let everybody know about our show that we did yesterday with Steve Christopher, who is a producer of a CD called Dog Country Songs. And if you follow us on Facebook at Dog Works Radio, you have a chance to win one of these two CDs that we're giving away. So if you like country music and you like dogs, and I'm sure you do because you're listening to our show, make sure you fill out that little questionnaire on our Facebook page there, and we may pick you to win one of these CDs. And you can hear that show right on dogworksradio.com. We recorded it yesterday, Dog Country Songs. So without further ado, Michelle Ray with the Denver Dumb Friends League. Michelle, how are you?
I'm good. How are you doing?
Very good. Thank you. So, you know, we've done a lot of work with the Furry Scurry over the, I don't know, 4 or 5 years that we've been in business in Denver, and it's always a great event, and I can't wait to talk to you about it. This upcoming one is just in 2 weeks from yesterday or Saturday. But before we do that, you guys are also involved in the Rocky Mountain Pet Expo over at the National, what is it again, the Stock Show. Right.
Yeah, the National Western Complex. And, yeah, the Rocky Mountain Expo is an event that we're involved with. And one of the cool things that will be going on there is there's going to be a pet fashion show of adoptable dogs from the Dumb Friends League, and then Petco's involved as well. And then also at the event, there's going to be a lot of vendors there. So it's a great time to come out if you have a pet at home and want to learn things. And it's a great way to get ready for the Furry Scurry, which will take place on May 7th. But the Rocky Mountain Pet Expo is going on Sunday, May 1st. It's from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. in Denver, Colorado. So if you're in the area, we encourage people to come out. And it's only $7 for adults, and then children are free. And obviously there's going to be a lot of activities going on, so it's a great way to get involved and learn a lot about pet care, as well as see demonstrations, and then maybe take home an adoptable pet.
So let's talk a little bit about this fashion show. Are the dogs dressed up or the people?
To be honest, I did not get the details on that because this was kind of a last-minute request on my part, so I don't know. I'll have to check into that. I'm hoping it's the people and not the dogs because that could be very interesting, but it could be pets wearing outfits as well. It would not surprise me. So, but I definitely encourage you to come out and take a look at it. They're going to have two different times when they're doing the pet fashion show, and then there's also going to be a lot of vendors there. There'll be veterinary hospitals and clinics, behavior trainers. There'll be pets up for adoption at the event. You can also meet with other animal welfare groups in the Denver area and throughout the Front Range. There'll be pet products and services, and then also pet boarding resorts and kennels, as well as just information about pet care and how you can help out animals in the community. So it'll be a fun time, and they'll also have dog training demonstrations in addition to the pet fashion show. And also you can learn about how aromatherapy can benefit you and your pet while you're there. So I don't think I'm going to miss it.
You know, that's a lot of new and upcoming things. Aromatherapy, you know, they do all kinds of stuff these days for dogs and cats, you know, the holistic medicine and the raw diets and all kinds of new stuff is going on with our pets because, you know, most people will take just as good of the care of their pets as they do themselves and their children. And I want to talk to you a little bit about that. I know you are with the Denver Dumb Friends League, and I want to talk to you about that in our second segment, about what you guys' focus is, because you guys are a rescue shelter. So I want to talk to you very shortly about that. So what are you guys involved in? You said you guys are going to have adoptions there. What made you want to be a part of this Rocky Mountain Pet Expo?
Well, obviously, since the event focuses on pets and pet care, it's a great way to get involved and spread the word about what we do and that we do have pets up for adoption. Obviously, that's one of our largest services that we offer is pet adoptions. We, last year, helped save more than 18,000 animals, and that includes cats, dogs, as well as other small pets, such as guinea pigs, rabbits, mice, rats. We do adopt those out as well. And so we wanted to get involved with this event because we knew it would draw a lot of people, and it's a fun time, and also just a great way to increase awareness about shelters and pet adoption, so that way more people will get involved and choose to come out and adopt from a shelter instead of going elsewhere.
Well, you know, it's really the expo starting season here at the very beginning of May. I know our first event usually with Denver Dog Works is the Furry Scurry, and pretty much two or three times a month between there and the end of the summer, we're at these expos and events. You know, the Somerset Festival over in Clement Park, and you know, some 4th of July festivals and 5K runs and all sorts of stuff. So, you know, in Denver, there is a tremendous amount of awareness for pets, and I think you guys do a lot of good for that at the Denver Dumb Friends League, as well as other public relations, you know, coordinators with other shelters and rescues and things. I think we have a very educated and aware community in Denver, Colorado, and if I'm understanding, I think that Denver is one of the most progressive pet ownership cities in the United States. Do you have any idea about that?
Well, yes, there was a recent story in the Denver Post. I want to say it may have been a few months ago or about a year ago, and they called Denver Pet Heaven. And that was because of a lot of things going on within the city and just statewide, how shelters here do collaborate and try to help out animals together and working together to make a difference. There's also other organizations within the community here, such as veterinarians and veterinary societies, that are working together to help obviously provide better treatment for the animals within our community and then also nationwide in terms of research. So there's many reasons, and then obviously too is because people here love their animals. And I did notice that when I moved to Denver, that there's so many pet friendly parks as well as restaurants, so many shops for your animals here as well, great behavior training facilities, and people within the community that can help you out with your animal. So, I mean, there's so many reasons why it is such a great place to be if you are a cat or dog or another small pet, because you're definitely going to be treated like royalty here.
And the weather surely helps, too. I mean, you guys have absolutely beautiful weather in Denver. And, you know, I've been up here in Alaska just since August, and I miss Denver every day. You know, that's still our home. We have our business there and our home there as well. But I'm up here trying to run the Iditarod here in a couple of years. So we bought a place up here, and the snow is finally melting. And I was out working on the yard today, and it was 48 degrees, and it felt like it was summer. And I was stacking wood and all up here, and somebody on Facebook, I said something about it's a beautiful day in Alaska. You know, I was stacking wood, and then somebody commented, and they said in Virginia or whatever, lucky you, it's 90 degrees here in Virginia. And I was out, you know, 48 degrees thinking it was summertime. You know, we're up here in 20 below this winter, and I do miss that weather in Denver and, you know, all the activities that you do have with the dogs there. So the Rocky Mountain Pet Expo, which is this weekend, is it both Saturday and Sunday, Michelle?
It is just on Sunday, May 1st, and it's going on.
It is on Sunday, and yes, it's at the National Western Complex, and that is a huge place. If you've ever been to the National Western Stock Show, I believe it is in February, I think. I don't remember exactly, but that place is awesome. You know, they have rodeos there and everything. It's right off of I-70. Do you know the cross street there, Michelle?
I do not. I just have it on Humboldt Street. It's 4655. So you can just head out there, and you can also bring your pet as long as they follow the rules of being leashed and being up to date on their vaccinations. So it is a fun way to bring out your pet. And then you can get more information about the Pet Expo and who's going to be there at RockyMountainPetExpo.com.
There you go. So Michelle Ray with the Denver Dumb Friends League will be there. Where you and your crew at Denver Dumb Friends League will be there, as well as many other people. I'm not sure if we're there or not. You know, I'm kind of out of the loop up here in Alaska, Michelle. I have no idea what my Michelle is doing down there with Denver Dog Works. I don't know if she's there this weekend or not. So before we talk about the furry scurry, because I do know a lot about that, let's talk about the Denver Dumb Friends League. And, you know, the first question that I have that everybody always asks me is, why do you call it the Denver Dumb Friends League? People think that that's kind of a stab at the pets.
Yes, yeah, and it is a common question that you hear, especially for people that just moved to Colorado or not from the area. And the name actually stems from an organization in England called Our Dumb Friends League. And in 1910, a group of women founded the Dumb Friends League here, so they brought the name over. And obviously back then, dumb had a very different connotation than it does now. Obviously it means for those that cannot speak for themselves. And so that is what we do and what we continue to do for the animals, because they do not have a voice, so we are the voice for them. So we have kept that name for that reason, and then also because it does have such a high recognition rate within the state and the city, and so there's almost no point in changing the name because everyone already knows it, and then that money that would be involved in that rebranding would obviously be taken away from programs that we're offering for pets and people and to help them out in the community. So we'd rather use that money and keep it within the community and help support the pets and people here. So that is where the name comes from, and we will probably keep it just because there is such a high recognition rate within the state, and then also because of what it means and how we are still using that and being a voice for the animals.
And you can find out more information about the Denver Dumb Friends League at ddfl.org, and they have all kinds of great resources on there. So let's talk a little bit about your facility. You guys are about, I don't know, 3/4 of a mile or so. We're on Parker and Iliff, and you guys are on, I guess that's where it turns into, what is it,
Quebec and Evans. Yeah,
Quebec and Evans. So right up the road from us. And you know, Michelle, we have so many clients that have adopted dogs from you guys that come down to our school, and because we always ask where they get their dogs from. And I would say a large percentage of the clients that we work with are rescues or adoptions from the Denver Dumb Friends League. I don't know if it's proximity, I don't know if it's good word of mouth or what, but you guys do adopt a lot of dogs, and I don't. Of course, this is a dog show. I'm a dog trainer, so I don't have any idea what you guys are doing with cats and guinea pigs and all that sort of stuff. And you're welcome to talk about that. But let's talk about your facility. Your facility is one of the coolest facilities I've ever been into, and I've been into many of a shelter, being a behaviorist, you know, seeing, you know, the dog bite cases and all that kind of stuff, and you know, your typical chain link animal shelter that you go into with all the barking dogs and noise and smell and all this. But your guys' place is almost like a sanctuary, almost like a zoo. It is so cool looking. Tell us a little bit about your facility.
Yeah, well, we actually have two locations. We have our main facility, which is the Dumb Friends League Quebec Street Shelter is what we call it, here in Denver, and it's like the largest facility. We also have the Buddy Center, which is kind of like the mini version of our Dumb Friends League in Denver, and that's in Castle Rock, Colorado. But our larger facility, it's a state of an art facility. I mean, it's huge, especially I previously worked at a shelter in Kentucky, so coming here it was very different to see how they are set up. And so they do set up the facility to limit contagion. We do really care about contagion control and sanitation, so we make sure the flow of the animals obviously reduces their chances of getting sick, and then also to reduce their stress levels as well. And when they're placed up for adoption, what the public sees is that we have cat colonies. So cats actually will reside together if they do get along with other cats. So that kind of gives them more of a home environment and helps reduce stress and anxiety. Then also the dogs are kenneled, and there's kind of like these plexiglass windows instead of, say, being in cages. So that way they can be comfortable as well. They're easier to view for the people looking to adopt. And then it can also help with disease control as well, so people can't necessarily reach out and touch one dog and then immediately go step over and touch the next dog. And then when you do come in to adopt from the Dumb Friends League, we have a Find a Friend kiosk, which is the first place you go. And basically you fill out a questionnaire. So it'll ask you some basic questions about yourself, your family, your lifestyle. So that way we can help match you up with a pet that's in our care and available for adoption and will be a good match for you. And so we do have adoption counselors on hand to help you through that process. And obviously we want to ensure that the dog goes to the right home and that you also find the right pet for your family too.
You know, I forgot all about that Find a Friend kiosk. And it's if I remember correctly, and it's been a year or so since I've been there, it kind of gives a little bio of each dog, and it says like they're adventure seekers or couch potatoes or whatever in terms of how to best place that particular dog with that particular family. You guys have those cute little, scenarios of what one dog or cat or whatever would fit into the family. Is that right?
Yeah, we kind of give them like a personality profile. And obviously, if you do become interested in one particular pet, we have more information about them as well. So if they are surrendered to us, we do ask the previous owner to fill out any information that they can about the pet, as well as even if they are a stray and maybe someone has been in contact with them a little bit, just to give us information. And then while they're in our care as well, staff and volunteers will make notes along their process while they're with us. Maybe if they're going out for a dog walk, and kind of give some indication about, you know, what type of dog they're like. They like to play fetch. They already know basic commands. They're very friendly. They enjoy a belly rub. So we gather all that information as well. And then find out, too, do they get along with other pets? Would they do well in a household living with another dog or young children? So we try to get all the information that we can about a pet that's up for adoption. So that way we can provide that to the potential adopter and help them make that right decision for their family.
And, you know, one of the first things I noticed when I went in there was just how clean it was at the Denver Dumb Friends League. I'm sure you guys take great pride in that, and your staff keeps that place almost immaculate. And that's very uncommon for a lot of shelters. Again, most people, when they think of an animal shelter, they think of these long, dank, dark corridors of chain link cages. And it's just not like that at the Denver Dumb Friends League.
Yeah, I mean, it is. It's a beautiful facility, and we definitely do pride ourselves in terms of keeping it clean, obviously for the animals as well as for the visitors as well. And obviously, again, sanitation in general is very important to us, and our staff and our volunteers make a big difference in our ability to be able to do that. And we definitely thank the volunteers that we have that assist us with our daily procedures, whether it's cleaning a kennel or taking a dog out for a walk or helping with adoptions.
And the next thing I want to mention about the Denver Dumb Friends League is your guys's, I don't know what you guys call it, but the Remembrance Garden or whatever it is where
the
Memorial Garden, where people can place their pets and they can buy these bricks and all that sort of stuff. Can you tell us about that?
Yeah, I mean, there's many ways if you want to get involved. Obviously, volunteering is a great way to do it, or maybe you want to make a donation to us, or you want to do something in memory of your pets. So you can actually have your pet's ashes placed there in the garden. You can also buy bricks or even benches in memory or in honor of a beloved pet or even a person. And you can actually get more information about that on our website at ddfl.org. But there's many ways to get involved, whether it's like you just want to make a one-time donation, you want to become a monthly donor, you want to attend our events, or you want to get involved as a volunteer and even as a foster parent as well, because that is a very big need that we have right now.
And you guys do a lot of work with other shelters throughout the nation. Sometimes other shelters will bring dogs to you. And something that comes to mind is during Katrina, they brought some dogs up to the Denver Dumb Friends League to, you know, kind of go from Louisiana to Denver to use it as a resource. Can you tell us a little bit about that network that you guys are a part of?
Yeah, I mean, when we have space available, we will take in pets from other overcrowded shelters or even dealing with particular cases, whether it's hoarding or maybe in that case a natural disaster. And so when we do have space, we will obviously work with other shelters and other groups and take in pets, usually dogs. And so we've taken dogs from other shelters within the state of Colorado as well as within the region. So we'll see dogs coming in from New Mexico as well as Kansas and Oklahoma. And then as an example, recently we took in 52 dogs from a hoarding case in Arizona. We worked with the Humane Society of the United States, and then other shelters assisted as well, and a total of 75 dogs and 6 cats made the drive from Arizona up to Denver. And so now we are going to help these 52 dogs in our care. We're going to assist them through in shelter training programs as well as foster care, and then place them up for adoption so they have the opportunity of finding a great home.
So can you tell us, Michelle, we're talking to Michelle Ray with the Denver Dumb Friends League. Michelle, what is your title there at the Dumb Friends League?
I am the public relations manager.
Public relations manager. I think I screwed that up at the beginning. I apologize.
It's
so
fine.
We're talking to Michelle Ray, the public relations manager of the Denver Dumb Friends League. My next question is, can you tell our listeners a little bit about how rescues work? A lot of people think that a rescue is also a shelter. Do you know how, let's say that a Labrador retriever comes in as a stray and, you know, they want to put it with the Labrador rescue. Do you know how that works?
Yeah, I mean, we do work, we call them placement partners. So
okay. If
a particular pet comes into us and maybe they are a purebred needing a little extra help that we don't have the opportunity to give them at this time because maybe we have a lot of pets in our care, or we know they would just do better with a breed rescue group. So we do work with other groups that, in particular, it's mainly going to be the purebred rescue groups. So say if, I'm trying to think of even one maybe recently we did, I think there was a Great Dane that came in. And so we worked with this group and they took in the Great Dane so they would have the opportunity to be placed with the right family through their group because I think he needed a little extra behavior assistance and we were able to provide him.
Right. And my last question in regards to your guys' setup is you were talking about the rabbits and the guinea pigs and all the little furry animals that you guys have in there. And I think that intrigues a lot of people. When people think that, you know, that they have, that a family has, you know, a hamster or two and they have to get rid of them for whatever reason, you know, that's a little interesting to me. Can you talk about that a little bit?
Yeah, I mean, obviously they are considered companion pets as well, so we do take in rabbits, guinea pigs, other small pets. If we get any other type of exotic like type of pet, whether it's a lizard or maybe something else, we will work with another group that specializes in that. And if it's wildlife, we will work with wildlife rehabilitators so that way they can be released back into the wild. But we do adopt out the smaller pets, and I mean, that also can include birds and ferrets as well. And the reason we do see a lot of them coming in is many people don't know about the sexes of them, and they will put a male and a female together and not be aware that actually they're different sexes, and then they will procreate, and we'll see a lot of their youngins coming in through our doors. Or maybe someone got them from a pet store, and they weren't aware of all that was required to take care of them, or they got it for their child, expecting their child to provide the care for them. So when we adopt out these small pets, we make sure that the future owners understand the responsibilities of a pet, you know, regardless if it's a cat, dog, or small pet. And then also, if you are thinking about adopting a pet for your child, that we make sure that the parent realizes that they're probably going to end up being the primary caregiver for the animal because your child's not going to know how to be able to take care of them all the time. They can assist you, but you will be the one providing the primary care for this pet.
You know, what I find interesting here, and this is probably going to be a little sarcastic, but when you think about a hamster, and you can go down to the PetSmart and buy a hamster for, I don't know, $9-$10, right? Why would they go through the trouble of adopting a hamster?
Well, I mean, because they're also homeless as well, and they need a home. And actually, our adoption fees for a small pet start as little as $5.
Okay.
So obviously, I mean, that's where we just talk about coming out to an adoption shelter in general. There's other shelters within the area as well that adopt out small pets because they are without a home too. They have been surrendered to us or they have been dropped off to us. And so they need assistance as well. They want to find that forever home and they can offer companionship too. And so that's why we encourage people to come out to an adopt a pet from a shelter instead of going elsewhere, because by going to buy a pet from somewhere else, then you're actually going to help continue the process of the pets being sold at those facilities. But if you come out to a shelter, you're giving a pet a second or sometimes third chance at happiness. And so that way, then they have the opportunity of enjoying life within someone's home.
Are you guys seeing a lot of an influx of drop-offs from evictions and foreclosures and things like that, or is that settled down now?
We have in general seen an increase of pets being surrendered to us. It's approximately about 10 to 12%. We can't pinpoint exactly what it is, but there is a possibility the economy is playing a role. And so what we're doing right now is actually offering an adoption special to help encourage people to come out and adopt from us this spring. We're doing $50 adoption fees for all cats and dogs, and that runs through June 30th. And it's also the time of year when we're going to start seeing an influx, particularly of cats, kittens, and puppies coming through our doors this summer. And so by offering the special right now, we're going to open up space to allow for more pets coming in when we know the increase is going to happen, probably starting next month.
Right, right. So we're talking to Michelle Ray, a public relations coordinator for Denver Dumb Friends League. It's right on Quebec and Evans. If you're in Denver or anywhere in the Rocky Mountain region, that is the place to go if you're looking for that special pet for adoption. And I'm all for pet adoptions. I think it's great. I've worked with lots of rescue groups and lots of shelters throughout the years at our dog training school when we were in Minnesota as well as in Denver. So if you're trying to find that special friend and you don't need that purebred for shows or some type of competition event that requires that purebred, I would highly recommend that you guys go down to the Denver Dumb Friends League and check out what they have. So, Michelle, let's talk about the premier event for the Denver Dumb Friends League. It kicks off 2 weeks from Saturday, this past Saturday. It is the Furry Scurry. Let's talk about that.
Yeah, the Furry Scurry is considered to be the largest dog walk in the nation. It draws about 10,000 people and 5,000 dogs, and you will see dogs of all breeds, ages, sizes. You will see everything, dogs in costumes. Rumor has it there may even be like a miniature goat and possibly a horse at the event as well, if they are allowed, obviously getting permission from Denver County to come out and join us at the event. But it's a lot of fun. It's a 2-mile walk for the animals, and it kicks off at 9 a.m. on May 7th in Washington Park, and it's a great park in Denver. And obviously following the event, too, there'll be a lot of activities as well. We'll have demonstrations, contests. We'll also have live music. And in addition to that, you can go shopping at our Fleeless Market because there will be hundreds of vendors there, and there will also be plenty of giveaways as well. So you can purchase some items as well as pick up a few other things for your pet at home. And we encourage you, if you do have a dog, to come out to the event. And even if you don't have a pet at home, you can obviously fundraise in honor or in memory of a beloved pet, or just because you want to support the homeless animals in our community. Because all of the money raised will go back to benefit the Dumb Friends League.
We have been involved with the Furry Scurry as vendors and as participants. One of us, whether it's one of our trainers or myself or whoever is not manning the booth at the time, always takes place in the runner walk as well. And we'll usually take one of our dogs that's in training. And, you know, it's a great way to introduce some of the dogs that we have in training for all of that chaos of all of those people. And I think it's such an awesome event that you guys do. And I believe last year you guys were real close, if not over, the $1 million mark. Is that right?
Yes. Yeah, we actually, our goal was to raise $1 million. We were celebrating 100 years last year since the organization was founded in 1910, and we did exceed our goal, and this year we've set the same goal. We're hoping to raise $1 million, if not more. And so obviously the way people can get involved is to go ahead and sign up for the event right now on our website at ddfl.org. And you can set up a fundraising page, you can add photos of your dog or other beloved pets, and ask people to make donations very easily just by sending out emails to family and friends. And even if you can't make it to the event and you want to help out, it's still a great way to get involved and obviously make a difference for the homeless pets in our care just by setting up this page and fundraising. And in addition to like raising money, you can also earn some great prizes while you raise money to help out the homeless pets.
And those prizes are pretty cool. I've always tried to get at least the second level of of prize, whatever that may be. I remember one time it was a very cool cooler, a thermos that I got, and I still use it today. I took it out on the dog sledding trail many a times this past year. So, the Furry Scurry is well represented even up here in Alaska, and I'm still wearing 5-year-old Furry Scurry t-shirts. So people always ask, What is that about? You know, because every town has these run-walk type things, but very few of them will raise $1 million. $1 million is a heck of a lot of money. Does that help you guys out throughout the year? Is it, you know, how does that $1 million go towards helping these animals?
Oh, the money makes a huge difference for our organization. Obviously, when you can raise $1 million, that's going to go back directly to benefit the pets in our care. And we see nearly 25,000 animals that will be coming through our doors this year. So that money will be funneled back to help our programs to care for them and obviously get them placed for adoption and our adoption services. But we also offer other programs as well. So any money that is raised goes back to benefit our other services too. We do Lost and Found to try to help reunite pets with their owners in the community. We also have behavior training programs and mainly in shelter training programs where we do assist the pets that come through our doors and may need a little extra assistance before they're placed up for adoption. So it could be a high energy dog, maybe a pet that's under socialized or has never really been around humans before, and just to offer some enrichment while they're in our care. And we also have humane education where we go out into schools and offer programs to teach children about kindness and compassion towards animals. And we also do summer camp programs for kids too, which I'm always very jealous of. I wish they would have had that when I was a youngster. And then animal welfare investigations, we offer that within 8 surrounding counties. And we also do donor-subsidized spay-neuter surgeries in underserved areas of Denver. So that way those people have the opportunity as well to get their pet spayed or neutered, maybe when they can't afford the services to go elsewhere, but at least they have the opportunities to get the benefits of getting their pet spayed and neutered through our one of our mobile units.
And that spay and neutering, that is the key to the pet population, I think. I remember Bob Barker used to talk about that every day on Price is Right, was spay and neuter your pets. You know, if everybody were to spay and neuter their dog or their cat, you guys hopefully would be out of business. I think that's kind of the goal, is to make sure that there aren't any you know, unwanted pets, right?
Yes. Yeah. I mean, I would love to not have my job. As much as I love working with the animals, that I think that is the ultimate goal for every shelter and rescue group out there. And by choosing to spay and neuter your pets, you really do make a difference, not only for your pet, because there are health benefits of getting your pet spayed or neutered. They can live 3 to 5 years longer. They can be less likely to bite, less likely to roam. So, I mean, there's many benefits. And then obviously for you, you can actually sleep if they are going into heat and not be woken up in the middle of the night. So it'll be better for you too. And then obviously the greater good, the greater benefit of choosing to spay and neuter your pets is that you will help reduce pet overpopulation and not contribute to it. So then we won't see more pets coming through our doors or entering other shelters. So we definitely encourage people to spay and neuter pets if they have not yet. And then if you are looking to adopt a furry friend and you don't need them for a show or other reason that you spoke of, to come out to an animal shelter like the Dove Friends League and choose the adoption option and take home a furry friend that'll offer you a lifetime of love and companionship.
Do you guys do senior dogs or cats?
Yes. Oh, yeah. We adopt out pets of all ages. I mean, we'll see kittens and puppies coming through our doors, and we also place up older pets up for adoption as well. So we have, I believe there was a cat up for adoption that was 13 years old, and then I know a dog that was up for adoption that was about 11 years old. And usually what we do is we have right now we're offering an adoption special, so all adoption fees are $50. But when we aren't doing an adoption special, we do have kind of a sliding scale for adoption fees. And so the dogs that maybe are a little bit older, or the cats that are a little bit older, they will have the lower adoption fees, and the pets with the higher adoption fee will leave a financial legacy for the ones that might need additional assistance in finding a home or maybe some extra medical care as well.
Right. So the Furry Scurry, that is on May 4th, right?
May 7th.
May 7th.
Saturday, May 7th.
And that's rain or shine, no matter what. I know we've been out there in pouring rain before, and, you know, people show up in masses, and that's an awesome place, Washington Park. If you have never been to Denver, that's the premier park right there in Denver. It's got a beautiful lake. It's got a beautiful track that you guys take part in, and I don't know, is it Nine News that comes out and broadcasts it? And the whole nine yards, you guys really have it going on with the Furry Scurry. So the last thing I'd like to talk about, Michelle, is the Wagon Trail in September, I believe. It's kind of the end of the season event. I know you guys, are you guys still doing that?
Yeah, yes. And that event, the Wagon Trail, actually benefits the Dumfries League Buddy Center in Castle
right.
Rock. So all the money raised from that event funnels directly back to the facility in Castle Rock. And it's a great way to get involved. You know, obviously, the Furry Scurry, we hope you can make it out to there. And you can go ahead and mark your calendars for the Wagon Trail. That will take place on Saturday, September 17th. And it happens at the Douglas County Open Space Park there. And it's a lot of fun. It's a 1.6-mile hike, and there'll also be vendors there, as well as demonstrations, contests, and another just great way to get involved, meet other pet lovers, bring your dog out for a fun event. I went last year for the first time because I just moved to Denver not terribly long ago, and it's a beautiful open space park, and it's always fun to see so many pet lovers out there supporting the Dumfries League, as well as just enjoying the event, enjoying their time with the dog, too.
And that's only about, I don't know, 15, 20 miles from the middle of downtown of Denver. It's in Castle Rock, which is just down I-25. And that's a little bit different event than the Furry Scurry. Like you said, it's more of a hike. It's outdoors, you know, kind of on the trail. So it's a little bit different atmosphere than the Furry Scurry. It's not this massive amounts of people and dogs and you know, kind of the city folk. It's more of the, you know, more of the suburb type people, don't you think?
Yeah, I would say it's a little more laid back.
Right,
It's not as large of an event, so there's not as many people there. But obviously, you know, I don't want to deter people about the Furry Scurry because since Washington Park is so large, you don't feel like it's too crowded. But it, definitely the Wagon Trail, it's a little more casual and laid back. So it is. It's a lot of fun. Both events are great, and both benefit the Dumfries League. And it's a wonderful opportunity to bring your pet out, meet other pet lovers, have a good time with them, and then obviously raise money to help out the homeless pets in our care that want to find a home and that are looking for a home.
Yeah, and nothing against Washington Park. That place is absolutely
yes.
huge. You can play tennis and volleyball and fish and just about everything. It's like a mini Central Park, I think, in the middle of Denver there. Is the Wagon Trail, do you guys have the same type of fundraising things that you do for the Furry Scurry where you can, you know, have teams and all that, or is it different?
Well, with the Furry Scurry, there's a $50 registration fee, and you can set up a team for that event. And with that, you do get a Furry Scurry T-shirt. With the Wagon Trail, there is not a set registration fee. But obviously,
okay.
for both events, we encourage you to fundraise. And the more money you raise, the more prizes you're going to earn. And then, obviously, the more animals you're going to be able to help. So you can set up teams for both, or you can just sign up as an individual and come out to the event, bring a friend. It's really up to you and what works for your schedule and what you're looking to do, but we just encourage everyone to get involved because they're both great events and it makes a huge difference for our organization.
Right, right. Michelle, anything else you guys are doing throughout the year? I know it's on the two big things. Do you guys do anything else?
Those are probably the two big events. I mean, there's an event coming up for cat lovers, but I know this show's a little more geared for dogs, but we do have Cat Fest on July 9th. So if you
okay.
do like cats and you are maybe looking to add a feline friend to your family and a dog-friendly cat, it's a great event as well, and we encourage people to come out to that too.
Sure. So this is Michelle Ray. She is the public relations coordinator for the Denver Dumfries League. And you can see those guys, and I believe you can see us as well, at both the Rocky Mountain Pet Expo this weekend at the Western Complex right off of I-70, as well as the Furry Scurry, which is the following Saturday at 9 a.m. Get there early if you are a vendor. I know we have a lot of dog training businesses listening and, you know, they're first-time Furry Scurry vendors. Make sure you're there very early. We usually get there about 6:30 in the morning to set up, so it's very important that you are there early. And if you're out there walking with your dogs, 9 o'clock sharp is when they start. I believe they start the runners without dogs first, then the runners with dogs, and then the walkers and with dogs, and then walkers. So it goes in segments as they go. So everybody's not, you know, bunched up together, and it's very smooth running. It's probably one of the best events that I've ever been to in terms of coordination. You guys do a magnificent job with that, and I can't thank you guys enough for your guys' public support in Denver. You guys do a lot of good there for the pets. Michelle, anything else you want to mention before we close?
Oh, gosh. I mean, yeah, just we hope to see everyone either at the Furry Scurry or the Wagon Trail. And then if you are looking to adopt a pet, please come visit one of our shelter locations. And you can always learn more about what we're doing and what we do to help out the pets and people in our community by visiting our website at ddfl.org. It's a great website, so definitely take a look there if you want to find out about us and how we are helping the community.
Michelle, it's been my pleasure. Let's have you guys on again sometime later in the summer to talk about that Wagon Trail, and we'll make sure we can promote that for you as well, okay?
Sounds great. Thank you.
Thank you very much, and thanks for all the work you guys do. We'll talk to you again, all right?
All right. Have a good one.
You too. Goodbye. And this is Robert Forto for DogWorks Radio. Listen to us on Sunday. We're having Christopher R. Mim. We're talking about horror movies on dogs training shows. So that's going to be a very interesting show. We do a little bit of everything here. So if you like horror movies, and you know I am a huge fan, a good friend of mine is a producer of a brand new 1950s-esque style drive-in type horror movie that's going to be released at the end of May. So we're going to go off the dog training track just a little bit and talk to Christopher R. Mim. You can find out more about him at SaintEuphoria.com. So this is Robert Forto for Michelle Ray with the Denver Dumb Friends League. We'll see you guys next time. Goodbye.